We've been working through the book of Acts. We're going to continue it for one more Sunday. Next Sunday, we'll do Acts chapter 12, at least, maybe into 13. There is an actual order. I'm not making it up on the fly, but I'm not looking at it right now. We'll do a little bit more in Acts, and then after revival, it'll be time for us to move back into the Old Testament for a while, and then New Testament, and we'll continue our rotation through like that. But it's been a great joy to get to work through the early church here with you in Acts, and now we're due for some Old Testament. So we're going to be in Acts chapter 11 on verse 893 this evening. On Thursday and Friday of this, what? I don't know what I said. What did we say? I was like, we started off also a little crazy tonight with that first song. I was like, this morning, like early at the service, I was like, could anything else go wrong this morning? There are all sorts of crazy things happening. I don't know what's going on, y'all. All right, I'm going to try and move forward anyway. We'll see what happens. All right, so Thursday, Friday, I went to a pastor's conference on church polity. So, you know, wake up. Don't glaze over on that one. There's not a lot of conferences out there about church governance and polity. And there's definitely not any that are talking about the biblical basis for church business meetings and for deacons and the biblical value of the business meeting and deacons. Rather, most people out there are like, man, business meetings and deacons. It's like two of the, you know, like, please let's not talk about those subjects at the church. But, you know, here at Talitha, we have such excellent deacons, and I like to think we have really fun, excellent, productive, and worshipful, more than anything, business meetings. And so I love getting to do both here and just wanted to evaluate the scriptural basis for these, but also understand how we as a church could continue to do them better. One of the topics that came up in this conference about church governance and polity was how independent churches relate to the other churches around them. You know, what does Scripture have to say about how churches are to cooperate? Or for what purposes should churches cooperate with each other, the ones going on around? I mean, surely we are an independent Baptist church. We are, like all other good Baptist churches, proudly independent. We are not a democracy, you wouldn't say properly. We are a monarchy or a theocracy. Christ rules this church. It is simply underneath his rulership, we are governed by the democratic processes of the congregation governing it, but still, that is because of the Holy Spirit on each individual member's life. And since we have the Holy Spirit, it does not say that we are governing it. It is say that the Holy Spirit is guiding each of us individually, so we all participate in the democratic process, but still all under the rulership of God. And so being an independent church that can all by ourselves fulfill the commission that God has put on us to do, we cannot independently one by one, each of us, do these things. But as we read this morning in Ephesians, we are being built together, not independently, each one of us, but independently as a church, separate from other churches. We have all the spiritual gifting we need here, and we are being built together and knit together into a holy place for God, a holy people for God. Yet at the same time, when Christ returns, we won't talk about church anymore. There'll be no more churches to talk about. There will be his kingdom and all of his people gathered together at that time. So how, until then, do independent churches cooperate? Under what circumstances do we cooperate? And for what purposes? You're going to find the answer. We're going to look for the answers here in Acts chapter 11. We'll begin reading in verse 19 about the church in Antioch. I don't know what I said earlier, page number or verses. I still don't understand exactly what happened there, but chapter 11, verse 19, which is on page 893. All right, let me pray for us, and we'll begin. Father God, thank you so much that you've given us such clear instruction and that you've guided us so clearly as a church through your word. Father, I pray that as we devote ourselves to your word now, that you would put your spirit on us so that we could understand it, so that we could apply it, so that we could worship you all the better. And this I pray in your name. Amen. Verse 19, the church in Antioch. Now, those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed, they traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Now, news of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he arrived and saw what the grace of God has done, he was glad and he encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. Now this happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each was able, decided to provide to help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. This is the word of the Lord for us. So how do churches cooperate? How do churches help each other out? Well, first, we like-minded churches, we help each other out and we partner and we cooperate for missions. And that is clear here. People have spread out, they've moved back home, they've gone away because of persecution, and they've taken the gospel with them. And as people are hearing the gospel and being saved, they need some people to help lead. They need the apostles' teaching there at those church. And so when the church in Jerusalem hears about it, they send one of their apostles. They send somebody out to help on mission. How does the Jerusalem church supposed to help the church in Antioch and all these other churches? Well, first, by sending ministers. This is in the form of apostles in order to preach the gospel so that they can have the word there. We, as churches, we participate first with each other. We cooperate together for missions, on account of missions. We cooperate not necessarily because we can't do missions on our own as a church. We can. We as Talitha go out on some mission trips and do trips on our own without the help of other churches. But we cooperate and participate following this biblical outline and example of churches doing missions together, of sending pastors around to help establish churches. We partner this way because we can do so much more together than we can independently. The great example of this is to be Southern Baptist. And what does it mean, after all, if we're this independent church that's got all the gifting we need in order to be a part? What does it mean to be a part of the Southern Baptist Convention? They don't tell us what to do, this convention. In fact, this convention is really no more than a group of churches gathered together for the sake of missions. That's all the Southern Baptist Convention is a big group of thousands of Southern Baptist churches that get together for the sake of sending out missionaries. They gather up offerings for the sake of sending out missionaries. In fact, the Southern Baptist Convention is the largest missionary organization and endeavor in the history of the world. There's been nothing like this. Tens of thousands of churches that cooperate together to send out thousands of missionaries all over the world. We are not exempt from the call to go, and so we go as well. But it's our delight to cooperate in this way. When we hear about the need for pastors in other parts of the world, just like the Jerusalem church heard about the need for somebody to pastor out there in Antioch, we partner together for missions. They sent Barnabas over to help establish the church there, more believers, and then to continue to establish these other churches that are springing up in the area. So how do we cooperate with other churches? The first way is for missions. It's how we cooperate with other churches. We're always happy to find other partners in our churches locally to go on trips together. It's our delight every year to work together in missions. In fact, I was talking tonight with our WMU director about beginning to do our offering for missions that's coming up here for Easter. And I was surprised because time gets away from me, and I didn't realize it was already that time of year. But it is, in fact, pretty much March now, right? So it's time to collect our offering for missions. And we shall do exactly what this church does when there is need at the end. That is, we will pray together, and we will, as we have been blessed and as we have need and or as we can provide, we will put together for missions. We'll give to this offering, each and every one of us, because we delight to cooperate for the sake of missions. Now, the second thing that you see here, not just missions, but spiritual support. That's also what's going on. Churches cooperate with each other for the purpose of spiritually supporting each other. We all have times and we all have other needs, and we're always happy to send what is needed to another church, be it in this case Barnabas, perhaps. As we do, one of the things we've rejoiced to get to do is work with this church plant in Boston. So one of the planters grew up here at this church, and it was our delight to get to offer them spiritual support as well as financial support. We're happy to. One of those of us who are going on the San Francisco mission trip this year, really excited about the San Francisco mission trip because the mission field is huge there, and there's so many people who need to hear the gospel, and they're from all over the world living around there in San Francisco, and all kinds of people as well, of all income levels, that we'll get to bump into and tell about Jesus Christ. But a part of it also is we're going to work with a very new church there in San Francisco, one of our Baptist churches that was planted through the Southern Baptist Convention, a Baptist pastor who is there. So a big part of our trip is spiritual support of this church. We're going to go and help be the witnesses for them for just 1 week in order to share the gospel with many, to invite more people back to this church and encourage this church plant. We are going to be going very seriously, like Barnabas, to offer spiritual support to that church in San Francisco. But we don't just go. We, Talitha, receive spiritual support from other churches around us. We do this in this partnership that we've developed that has been such a blessing on us from Town Creek Baptist Church that puts our children's worship together for revival on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night. And it's a big work endeavor from them because they send over several volunteers, not one or two, a whole children's ministry team that's already done children's worship at their church on Sunday morning and Sunday night, now is willing to come over to our place. No benefit to them at all. We're not doing anything. We've yet to figure out a way we can offer help to them. So this isn't we're not scratching each other's backs here. They're just doing this, offering spiritual support because of their love for Jesus Christ. And so they come over and do that for us, and it's our joy, our love for that church too. Even as we go to baptize, we don't quite have our own baptistry in that room yet. And so we borrow it from Cedar Creek. And Cedar Creek, who's always happy to help and happy to loan it. And I can call up their executive pastor anytime and say, hey, can I get a baptistry for this Sunday? Are you baptizing or can we? And they're always happy to share it. They want to see as many people baptized as possible. And so we receive support from them as well. We partner for missions. We partner and cooperate with other churches for spiritual support as well. The next thing that you see in this passage is for fellowship. We partner for fellowship. Barnabas goes and gathers up and brings into fellowship a gentleman named Paul. Saul, that is. His name being turned to Paul here. Nobody's really sure if they like this guy. He's become a Christian. You heard Trevor preach this sermon a few weeks ago. Saul is persecuting Christians. He has had a vision of Jesus Christ. He was converted. He was blinded by the glory of the Lord and healed miraculously. And he is yet to really be brought into the fellowship of believers. It seems they don't trust him yet. He was just putting them in prison. But Barnabas goes out for the specific purpose of finding him and bringing him into the fellowship. That's what Barnabas wants to do, is go and gather this man up and bring him into fellowship. Likewise, it is our purpose in cooperation with other churches to increase fellowship. We have events that are events for the purpose of just getting together and fellowshipping, which is a code word for eating, right? We have events. So it's just, fellowship. That means we're going to eat. But eating, fellowship happens when you break bread together. It's an important part of the way relationships work, is eat something together. It endears you to each other. It's an important part of it. That's the excuse for eating a little bit more. But we have these fellowships together, and it is perfectly appropriate for churches that are cooperating to fellowship together. Now, this encourages the bond of the churches, of the people together, that we know each other when the church has the time of need. It's also historically a way of, getting the young kids of the church together with each other and trying to forge some family alliances later on down the road. That's what happens too, and there's no shame in that. Introduce them to some other good Baptist kids at another place, so that there can be some Baptist grandkids out of it. We partner for fellowship. I promise you, this is biblical. We partner for fellowship for these very reasons, that by increasing the fellowship, though there are independent churches in different areas, even around Aiken, we have different ones on that side of Aiken, on this side of Aiken, and over there, down in New Ellington, and over there on the north side, and we have all this in separate places, but we still need to know each other and fellowship with each other, and so we cooperate for that purpose. You see here a final purpose. It's missions, it's spiritual support, it is fellowship, it is finally financial support. That's what happens here at the end in verse 27 through 30. You might have just been surprised that this one believer makes a prophecy about a famine coming. But the point of it is what they do in response to this news. Verse 29, the disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. What did they do when they heard this prophecy about calamity? They gathered up an offering to go and provide financial support for one of the other cooperating churches. And they're happy to do this. In fact, as Paul is going out, and the rest of Acts that we're not going to get to in the next 2 weeks, but that we'll catch back up to sometime in the next few years, as Paul's missionary journeys are both for the spread of the gospel, but they are both also to collect an offering to provide for the difficulties that are going on in some of the churches. So when he writes his letters, he even mentions this, says, thank you for contributing to the offering so generously. We need to provide for each other. Churches are to follow this example and provide for each other in financial need and to help each other out. What God has given us as stewards is not just for us. It is also for the other churches who need help. And this is where, while we're excited about going out to the San Francisco church to provide spiritual encouragement, and we were excited to go do that with our Boston church as well, we support that Boston church monthly. It's our delight to provide financial support. Because that church, Boston is what the North American Mission Board calls a send city. The North American Mission Board identified a small certain number of just major megacities in North America, in which they were going to focus on for a certain number of years and plant a lot of churches in that one city. So there could be a whole network of church planters there together, reaching out to these global cities like San Francisco, like Vancouver, like Boston, like New York, in which there are people from all over the world, and they're all there, and they're all so close together, you could plant one church per apartment complex high-rise, and that would be appropriate to the amount of people that are needing churches there. Boston is one of them, but the church that we get to support financially is doing great. Most Sundays, they're about the same size we are, which is incredible because they're in Boston. And those two brothers, those church planters and their family and the people who are up there with them work tirelessly in order to see small bits of fruit, but they keep seeing it bit by bit, though by hard labor, fruit. And it is our joy to get to financially support that church. And when we see churches in need, not just for planting and financial support, but simply who are in desperate need of financial support, like you see here, where there is a famine and they have nothing to eat, it's also our delight to get to provide for the brothers and sisters of that church as well. Now, a question not answered by this passage, but that we ought to talk to, is whom can we partner with? Who can we partner with? Or whom? You pick. Who can we and who can't we? What is the extent of our partnership? Well, it depends on what you're partnering for. If it is in a fight against social evil, we can stand with a lot of people. You know, if it's against abortion, I'm happy to stand with whoever. You know, I don't mind if you're Catholic, or let's stand together against this murdering of children in the womb. You know, I'll stand with anybody. If you want to get together against abortion, I'm in. If we're standing together against social evil, whoever will stand with Christ's people is welcome to stand with us to remove these social evils. If it is for the sake of the gospel, we would have to, I mean very minimally, be talking about the same gospel, and about the same God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, salvation by grace through faith alone. But what's more, if we're talking about events, if we're talking about missions, if we're talking about church planting, if we're talking about, if you're doing evangelism, you have to be doing discipleship on the tail end of the evangelism. And if you're doing discipleship, what you're doing is teaching people to be obedient to everything Christ commanded. So you need to partner with people who are teaching the same thing about what it is that Christ commanded. Otherwise, quickly, it will not work. And you can go separate ways and say, I know you're preaching the right gospel, but I disagree with you about certain doctrines, so I hope you lead 1,000 people to Christ, but we're going to have to be doing it in separate places and in separate ways. So for the sake of the gospel, when it comes to church events and missions and church planting, we partner with other Baptists. This is not inconsequential, because we have, even in our area, churches that gather together with churches of different denominations, some churches being Baptist, some churches being, you know, baptizing infants, being Methodist, some churches speaking in tongues, and they gather together, you know, for gospel events, and I'm not angry with them or upset or even proclaiming that's wrong, but for us, our partnership has to be with people who are of like faith and message, because we have to. You can only lead folks in one direction when it comes to discipleship. So who can we partner with? I mean, against social evil, anybody. Let's get together and let's fight against some of the evils of the day. When it comes for the gospel, when it comes for church ministry, we're looking for other Baptists, more specifically other Baptists that adhere to the same historic faith that we do and the trust in Scripture. And so, as we partner with as many churches as we can, as many other like faith and message Baptists there are, we partner for these purposes. First, we cooperate in missions. We cooperate for the purpose of spiritually supporting each other. We cooperate for fellowship. We cooperate for financial support as others have needed. And we do all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much that you didn't even... Not only did you not send us out individually alone, but you've sent us out all together. But I thank you that you've not sent us out alone as a church, but that we have other churches in our mission field. I just lift up all those churches out there who do not have partner churches, who are in an area where the closest other Baptist church is hundreds of miles away. Father, I pray that your Spirit would be bold and powerful in those churches and encourage them as they are out there working hard but alone. Father, for our partners, for our other local churches that are nearby, pray that you would provide for us opportunities where we could cooperate with the other churches around us and joyfully help and encourage them, that we could continue in missions to cooperate with our Southern Baptist churches, all so that we could simply have been a part of spreading your name and your gospel to all the earth. And this I pray in your name. Amen.